And hello, everyone. Welcome to the Weekly Yap, the Weekly Yes And podcast. And I'm your host, Travis Thomas. I'm the creator of Live Yes And. You can check me out, liveyesand.com, as well as at Live Yes And on social media. And this is my weekly podcast. And for those of you who are new to the podcast or new to me, Live Yes And is dedicated to helping individuals, teams, and companies discover their brilliance through a commitment to purpose, authenticity, and life-transforming collaboration. So that's who I am. That's what I'm about. And so each week I do the weekly Yap podcast to share any insights or ideas from myself or others out there who are handling adversity, taking on challenges, and living life with a yes and mindset. How we overcome our obstacles, how we face them, what is our mental approach, what is our spiritual approach, how do we turn our poison into medicine, how do we turn our challenges into opportunity. And so I love sharing stories. Last week, I had Jason Wicker and Jennifer Reagan from On the Fly Productions talking about how they created their company and actually how they do what they do in such an interesting, competitive, and niche industry. So make sure you check out that podcast. And then the week before that was with Captain Tom Chaby, a Navy SEAL captain for 26, 27 years, sharing his insights from his life as a Navy SEAL, the lessons learned, and just how he approaches adversity and what is the SEAL mentality for doing that as well. So today, episode 24 is going to be all about the mindfulness of improvisation. And so this is a solo cast today. This is just me. I'm sort of in the middle of a really busy stretch of traveling and doing talks and presentations. So I'm excited this week about what's going on. And we'll be recording a few new podcasts with a few exciting guests this week. But right now, I am in Redondo Beach, California, and just finished doing an event yesterday. And I want to give thanks to Trevor Moad. If you guys don't know who Trevor Moad is, he's the creator of the Moad Consulting Group. Trevor is one of the top guys in the mental conditioning world of sports. And now he was at IMG and developed the program at IMG actually before I was there, but we were able to connect with each other through mutual friends and mutual contacts. He moved on to Exos in Arizona. He was vice president there, doing mental conditioning there. And now he has the Moad Consulting Group. And he's been a mental conditioning coach for Alabama and five of their national championships with Florida State recently, as well as the Jacksonville Jaguars, and working with such athletes individually as Maria Sharapova and Russell Wilson from Seattle. So just a neat guy. I really have enjoyed spending the weekend with him, and I'm super grateful that he decided to bring me out to California this weekend, because the two of us together were delivering to the UCLA Medical School resident surgeons. And so this is a group of resident surgeons here at the UCLA Medical School who are doing their residency, and they're surgeons. And so, again, this is one of those times in my life where I did not feel bad being the dumbest person in the room. So being around a group of doctors and surgeons and people whose job on a day-to-day basis is literally life and death, it was an honor to be able to talk with them, and Trevor was obviously speaking to them about the mental component, how to have a high performance and a sustainable mindset to sustain consistently sustain. Well, I'll say that five times fast, right? Consistently sustained. Woo! How to consistently sustain that level of excellence mentally, and how to do that day in and day out. And so it was really great for me just to again be a part of that and to listen to that. And then my portion of the day was really working on the communication and the relationship aspect of how to build those relationships, how to build a culture, how to build an environment, and specifically how to work on the interpersonal and the communication aspect between the doctor and the patient. and how to empathize and how to communicate and how to get into their shoes, and what we know from research and studies about lawsuits and things like that, and how important it is for doctors to really be able to take that extra time to spend those few minutes to really see things from the patient's perspective, to create a safe and trusting environment, and to really bring the compassion to the table. So that's what I got to talk to them about. I got to share what the Yes And mindset is all about. And it was just a really, really special special day on Saturday, spending the time with them. And so being out here in California has been really great. Being out here, I had to take the chance. I've got two friends who I used to perform with in Boston who are now in the Groundlings here in Los Angeles. Neither one of them were on the show last night, but they left me a ticket to go see the Groundlings in Hollywood last night, and which is just a treat when you can see improvisers at that level, at such a top level. In a lot of ways, I like to call them the Navy SEALs of improvisation. What it takes to become a groundling is downright difficult, but just such an entertaining show. So really grateful for that. Really grateful for Trevor and the MOAG group for bringing me out, and excited about things in the future. And I know I'm going to have Trevor on the weekly yap here coming soon. And so just a quick recap of what's been going on this week in Live Yes And what's coming up in the coming week, and then we're going to get into our podcast for today. So the Jove Improv, we were in Boca Raton Thursday night on FAU's campus. I want to say hello to everyone that came out. We had a really fun show. Didn't sell it out like we would have wanted to, but a really fun show. They were really pleased. So we're coming back in March to do another show in Boca. So check us out. And we're going to be performing this Saturday night again in Jupiter. So brand new show here in March. You're probably going to hear me doing a horrible Irish accent, something to do with St. Patrick's Day. But we have a really, really funny show planned for you as well. And then this week from Live Yes And, I'm jumping on a plane. I fly home from LA to Florida today. This is Sunday. Jump on a plane Tuesday to fly out to St. Louis. And while in St. Louis, I'm going to get a chance to interview a podcast with Sandy Wilder from the Educare Unlearning Institute. Sandy's been a great leadership mentor to me and a wonderful friend. So we're going to sit down with Sandy and do a podcast with him, which will be coming soon. And then on Thursday in St. Louis, I'm going to be speaking at the St. Louis YPO Young Professionals Group in St. Louis and getting a chance to be one of the keynote speakers with them on Thursday. The lead keynote speaker is Kevin O'Leary from The Shark Tank. And so I'm really honored to get to be a part of that group on Thursday. And then on Friday, I am getting to do a podcast with my good buddy, John O'Leary. John has been hugely instrumental with helping me get into the speaking world. And so John and I are going to sit down on Friday and do a podcast to talk about his book, which is releasing within the next few weeks. And John's going to talk about his book, but we're going to talk about John's life and his stories of adversity and living Yes And. And no matter how many times I hear John's story, it is just an inspiration every time. And so make sure you check that out. I've been posting a lot on social media about John's upcoming book. And I'll post some links in this podcast as well. And like I said, the Jove next show is on Saturday. And then coming up on Monday, March 7th, I'm going to start another 30 Days of Yes 101 program, $60 for 30 days. And again, it's a 30-day program, 30 days, 30 different activities. You have a connection to me for some coaching and inspiration, and just a great way for you to connect with your authenticity, with purpose, and mindfulness. So really excited about that coming up on March 7th. You can find out more about it on the events page or be in touch with me, and I'd love to give you more info on that. All right, let's do it. Episode 21. The mindfulness of improvisation. And I'm really excited to talk about this idea today of mindfulness, because when I got into improvisation, it wasn't something that I really thought about. It wasn't an aspect of improvisation that was really appealing to me. At least consciously, it wasn't appealing to me. But the more I've gotten into the coaching world, the performance world, the more I've realized that for me, what a tool and what a strength it has been for me as far as developing my own ability to be to have mindfulness, to show up with focus, to have concentration, and to be able to stay in the present moment. And so what I'm excited about with Live Yes And is the ability to talk to teams and companies and individuals about how improvisation itself is a mindfulness tool. And what is mindfulness? Here's my dime store definition of mindfulness. It's the ability to stay in the present moment of the task at hand, right? So the ability to stay in the present moment. So basically, whatever you are doing, can we stay focused in the present moment instead of thinking ahead or thinking behind, right? Thinking in the past or thinking in the future. And actually, Trevor shared something really cool with the medical students yesterday, and he shared this idea of the 80-10-10. And high performers, peak performers, have the ability, they've figured out, to stay in the present moment 80% of the time, think about the past 10% of the time, and think about the future 10% of the time. But 80% of the time, they are in the present moment, which is so, so difficult. Compared to, I think on average, they say the average person is 40% in the present, 30% in the past, 30% in the future. Now, I see that a lot more than I see the 80-10-10, because I think we spend so much time thinking about the past or reliving the past, either positively or negatively, or we're worried about the future, we're concerned about the future, or we're looking forward to the future. But all of that thought takes us out of the present moment, which is what is important now, right? You guys have heard me use the acronym before, which I didn't create, but I love, W-I-N, WIN. What's important now? And that's all about being in the present moment. And so for me, although I have gotten more into yoga in recent years, I've embraced meditation in recent years, what I've really discovered about improvisation is that it is my mindfulness activity. And when I'm improvising, I am never more in the current moment than when I am doing improv, because it really requires the skill to do it well, which I aspire to do. But to do it well, you have to be engaged in the present moment, because everything is being created in the present moment. And especially when you're on stage and you're out there with a scene partner and you're having to create something for nothing, you have to be so present and so engaged with your scene partner that you have to be so mindful. And I remember starting off I would call it the early days of improv for me. When I say early days, I'm meaning the early years. And I'm saying even now, it is the skill I am developing, which is the ability to be a really, really good listener. And I think what improv has helped more than anything for me is my ability to listen. Because mindfulness, again, in the present moment is really listening, being present, taking in all of the information that your scene partner is giving you and being able to respond to that. Not thinking too far ahead, not thinking too much in the past, but being engaged in the present moment and taking all the information in. What you'll notice with a lot of beginning and intermediate improvisers is they will miss a lot of key information because they're thinking ahead. They're thinking ahead too much. Probably not thinking in the past as much as they are thinking ahead. Because by thinking ahead, they're planning. And the reason they're thinking ahead so much and the reason they're planning is because they're not confident enough. They're not confident enough in themselves just to stay in the present moment. And I think for me, that is really reflective of us as people. And the reason we stress so much about the future and we think so much about the future and we try to plan so much of the future, because we don't actually have enough confidence and trust in ourselves to feel like that we can respond fully and confidently to whatever is happening and to whatever is going to happen, right? And so instead we rehearse and we think about every negative scenario, not to the point that we're doing it in a healthy way, that we're going to, okay, this is how I'd respond in this situation. I'm going to prepare from that standpoint. What we do is relive and we rehearse and we think about, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. Or I hope this happens, compared to having the confidence and trust and ability to deal with the present moment, to give our best to the present moment. Because that's the thing. What we have to do is, by giving our best to the present moment, that sets us up to be more successful in the future, right? It makes sense. It's logical. Because by showing up consistently the best we can in the present moment, we are therefore always going to continue to put ourselves in better situations. And for me, improvisation does that. It allows me to just stay fully engaged in the present moment. And if I win the moment, it sets me up better to win the next moment. So it helps with my listening. It helps with my presence. It allows me to do less thinking and more responding. And that's the way I like to think of it. Less thinking and more responding. I am responding to the current moment. And so let's do a little improvisation right now. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of opportunities, and these are just kind of warm-up games. But I want you, whether you're in your car, you're at your desk, or just listening on your iPhone, this is the way it's going to work. We're going to do a couple of exercises, and I just want you to respond based on the need. So 1, 2, 3, and I'm kind of tweaking this for the podcast. 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to say a number. If I say 1, snap. If I say 2, clap. And if I say 3, stomp. I don't know if you could hear my stomp. So 1, snap. 2, clap. 3, stomp. All right. So you have to think about what I've given you, and you have to snap, clap, or stomp. Are we ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. That should have been snap, clap, stomp. All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. 1, 1, 1, 3, 2, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, you there? Were you focused? Were you able to adapt? Were you flexible? Those are the skills that the improviser does. And what I love about that, what I want you to do right now is reflect back on doing that activity, whether you did it horribly or whether you did it well. Where was your focus? Where was your attention? Was your attention on the present moment, or were you thinking about the grocery list later? Or were you thinking about your work assignment? Or were you thinking about what happened this morning? Or were you engaged in the present moment? Odds are, if you did it well, you were really engaged in the present moment, right? And that's what improvisation allows us to do. Here's another one. This is a little word association. I'm going to give you a word. I want you to say the first thing that pops in your head. Don't think about it. Remember, don't judge yourself. Don't say that's a stupid answer, that's a wrong answer, whether you're being sexist or racist or inappropriate. Just say the first thing that pops in your head. No one's going to judge you unless you scream it on the subway. Then people might think you're a little crazy. So I'm going to give you the word. Don't think about it. First word that pops in your head, go with it, and we'll see how we do. Blue. Whale, fat, biggest loser, dunce, school, teacher, SATs, flunk. How do we do? How do we do with that? And I don't know if you guys actually, if you were paying attention, what I essentially did, I started with blue and I just decided to do a chain. Those were all related based on the word that I said previous. But for you, how did you do? Were you able to respond and think of something in the present moment? Again, that is what the improviser does. And they're always responding to the new idea, right? And you think about that, always responding to the new idea. Isn't that life? We're always responding to the new idea. We're not doing too much planning. We're dealing with the current moment. 80-10-10, 80% of the focus in the present moment, 10% in the past, 10% in the future. And here's another thing that improvisation has been really helpful for me on that, on the mindfulness front. And there's a new book called Quiet by Susan Cain. It's The Power of the Introvert. I am clearly not an introvert. I am an extrovert. And so it has helped me. Full disclosure, I have not read the whole book yet. I've only read excerpts. I've read excerpts as well as I've listened to Susan Cain in a few podcasts. And they talk about the difference between the extrovert and the introvert. And one thing that was really clear that she shared is that the introvert isn't necessarily antisocial, right? The introvert is, if they're going to be in public group situations, they just want to, they want to find and have connections and conversations that are meaningful. So they're not all about the kind of small talk, which I really get, because I'm really not about that either. I can do that really well, and I love being in public settings. That charges me. An introvert, it tends to be the opposite. It's the private settings that charge them. But what I love about introverts is that when introverts speak, you know it's going to be valuable. When extroverts speak, you know it's, they're just comfortable, so they're just going to speak. So as an introvert, it's all about quality over quantity. And if anyone knows me, they're like, Travis, with you, it's quantity over quality. Hopefully that's not the case. But as an extrovert, extroverts don't have a problem speaking. But what I love, and I share this all the time when I'm doing trainings and things like that, I'll say to the group, are extroverts the smartest person or people in the room? And the people go, well, no. And I'm like, well, are introverts the stupidest people in the room? And they'll go, well, no. And but that's, our society has kind of celebrated the extrovert because they can stand up in front of people and they can speak and they can deliver and they can be charismatic and they can be inspirational. That's great, and that's needed at times, but it doesn't make them the smartest person in the room. And the introvert, they're quieter. That may, does that mean that they don't have ideas? No, they actually often have the best ideas, but you're just not getting them from them. So I like to say extroverts need to know when to shut up, and introverts need to have the courage of knowing when to speak up. So extroverts' courage is in getting quiet. The introvert's courage is in speaking up. And so for me, I think improvisation has been this wonderful balance between the introverted and the extroverted mind, because you kind of have to have that extroverted courage to get on stage and do that. But you also have to have the introverted ability to be a good listener and to share the stage. Extroverts aren't good at sharing the stage. That's why a lot of people get into improvisation who are extroverts who don't do so well, because it's all about them and their ideas, where with improvisation, it is so collaborative that you have to have the courage to make bold ideas and be creative, but you also have the humility and the introvert's quality to listen and build, listen and build, be courageous, listen and build. And so I really love how I feel like improvisation is that great blend between the introvert and the extrovert mind. And again, from going back to mindfulness, with as an improviser, you are never spending too much time planning. You're staying in the present moment. You're staying focused. And some of the most present times where I just felt like totally in the zone, not thinking, just responding, where, you know, you're kind of in slow motion and time stands still, it's when I've been improvising. And I think that skill set, again, the reason I created Live Yes And is to help bring that skill set to teams, to companies, and to individuals. And I feel at the end of the day, whatever it takes for us to bring more mindfulness to what we do, that's what we need to do more of. And for me, it's improvisation, sharing these ideas. For my wife, it's yoga. For others, it's meditation. And it all those for me as well. But I think it's whatever it is for you, find it, harness it, do more of it. And trust me, everyone around you will want you to be more present. So there you have it, everyone. Episode 24, The Mindfulness of Improvisation. This was just kind of an idea I had at the last minute to do it on this topic, and hopefully you got some value out of it. And make sure you check me out every morning, guys, on Periscope. Actually, I'm going to finish this and then jump on Periscope and do a quick scope before heading off to the airport to fly home to my wonderful family in Florida. Congratulations to Trinity for them winning their two Region Cup games this weekend with Massive Soccer. And for my 8-year-old Shepherd, they won 7-6 in the last minute of the game this morning. So excited for them and excited to see them. And my wonderful, beautiful Holland. Can't wait to see him as well. So have a wonderful, wonderful Yes And day, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 24. I'll talk to you soon.